This is the reading for June 9th. Job chapter 10. I hate my life, so I will complain without holding back. I will speak because I am so unhappy. I will say to God, "Do not hold me guilty, but tell me what you have against me. Does it make you happy to trouble me? Don't you care about me, the work of your hands? Are you happy with the plans of evil people? Do you have human eyes that see as we see? Are your days like the days of humans, and your years like our years? You look for the evil I have done and search for my sin. You know I am not guilty, but no one can save me from your power. Your hands shaped me and made me. Do you now turn around and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like a piece of clay. Will you now turn me back into dust? You formed me inside my mother like cheese formed from milk. You dressed me with skin and flesh. You sewed me together with bones and muscles. You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your care you watched over my life. But in your heart you hid other plans. I know this was in your mind. If I sinned, you would watch me and would not let my sin go unpunished. How terrible it will be for me if I am guilty. Even if I am right, I cannot lift my head. I am full of shame and experience only pain. If I hold up my head, you hunt me like a lion and again show your terrible power against me. You bring new witnesses against me and increase your anger against me. Your armies come against me. So why did you allow me to be born? I wish I had died before anyone saw me. I wish I had never lived, but have been carried straight from birth to the grave. The few days of my life are almost over. Leave me alone so I can have a moment of joy. Soon I will leave. I will not return from the land of darkness and gloom, the land of darkest night, from the land of gloom and confusion, where even the light is darkness." 2 Kings chapter 3. Joram, son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in Jehoshaphat's 18th year as king of Judah. And Joram ruled 12 years. He did what the Lord said was wrong, but he was not like his father and mother. He removed the stone pillars his father had made for Baal, but he continued to sin like Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had led Israel to sin. Joram did not stop doing these same sins. Mesha, king of Moab, raised sheep. He paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 sheep. But when Ahab died, the king of Moab turned against the king of Israel. So King Joram went out from Samaria and gathered Israel's army. He also sent messengers to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. "The king of Moab has turned against me," he said. "Will you go with me to fight Moab?" Jehoshaphat replied, "I will go with you. My soldiers and my horses are yours." Jehoshaphat asked, "Which way should we attack?" Joram answered, "Through the desert of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After they had marched 7 days, there was no more water for the army or for their animals that were with them. The king of Israel said, "This is terrible. The Lord has called us three kings together to hand us over to the Moabites." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there a prophet of the Lord here? We can ask the Lord through him." An officer of the king of Israel answered, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He was Elijah's servant." Jehoshaphat said, "He speaks the Lord's truth." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to see Elisha. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "I have nothing to do with you. Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother." The king of Israel said to Elisha, "No, the Lord has called us three kings together to hand us over to the Moabites." Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord All-Powerful lives, whom I serve, I tell you the truth. I wouldn't even look at you or notice you if Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were not here. I respect him. Now bring me someone who plays the harp." While the harp was being played, the Lord gave Elisha power. Then Elisha said, "The Lord says to dig holes in the valley. The Lord says you won't see wind or rain, but the valley will be filled with water. Then you, your cattle, and your other animals can drink. This is easy for the Lord to do. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will destroy every strong walled city and every important town. You will cut down every good tree and stop up all springs. You will ruin every good field with rocks." The next morning, about the same time the sacrifice was offered, water came from the direction of Edom and filled the valley. All the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, so they gathered everyone old enough to put on armor and waited at the border. But when the Moabites got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. They saw the water across from them, and it looked as red as blood. Then they said, "This is blood. The kings must have fought and killed each other. Come, Moabites, let's take the valuables from the dead bodies." When the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites came out and fought them until they ran away. Then the Israelites went on into the land, killing the Moabites. They tore down the cities and threw rocks all over every good field. They stopped up all the springs and cut down all the good trees. Kir-Hareseth was the only city with its stone still in place, but the men with slingshots surrounded it and conquered it too. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was too much for him, he took 700 men with swords to try to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not break through. Then the king of Moab took his oldest son, who would have been king after him, and offered him as a burnt offering on the wall. So there was great anger against the Israelites, who left and went back to their own land. 2 Kings chapter 4. The wife of a man from the groups of prophets said to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know he honored the Lord, but now the man he owes money to is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha answered, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" The woman said, "I don't have anything there except a pot of oil." Then Elisha said, "Go and get empty jars from all your neighbors. Don't ask for just a few. Then go into your house and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars and set the full ones aside." So she left Elisha and shut the door behind her and her sons. As they brought the jars to her, she poured out the oil. When the jars were all full, she said to her son, "Bring me another jar." But he said, "There are no more jars." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told Elisha, and the prophet said to her, "Go, sell the oil and pay what you owe. You and your sons can live on what is left." One day, Elisha went to Shunem, where an important woman lived. She begged Elisha to stay and eat. So every time Elisha passed by, he stopped there to eat. The woman said to her husband, "I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by our house all the time. Let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed in the room for him. We can put a table, a chair, and a lampstand there. Then when he comes by, he can stay there." One day, Elisha came to the woman's house. After he went to his room and rested, he said to his servant, "Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman." When the servant had called her, she stood in front of him. Elisha had told his servant, "Now say to her, 'You have gone to all this trouble for us. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak to the king or the commander of the army for you?'" She answered, "I live among my own people." Elisha said to Gehazi, What can we do for her?" He answered, "She has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said to Gehazi, "Call her." When he called her, she stood in the doorway. Then Elisha said, "About this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms." The woman said, "No, master man of God, don't lie to me, your servant." But the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son at that time the next year, just as Elisha had told her. The boy grew up and one day went out to his father, who was with the grain harvesters. The boy said to his father, "My head, my head." The father said to his servant, "Take him to his mother." The servant took him to his mother, and he lay on his mother's lap until noon. Then he died. So she took him up and laid him on Elisha's bed. Then she shut the door and left. She called to her husband, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys. Then I can go quickly to the man of God and return." The husband said, "Why do you want to go to him today? It isn't the new moon or the Sabbath day." She said, "It will be all right." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she went to Elisha, the man of God, at Mount Carmel. When he saw her coming from far away, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite woman. Run to meet her and ask, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is the boy all right?'" She answered, "Everything is all right." Then she came to Elisha at the heel and grabbed his feet. Gehazi came near to pull her away, but Elisha said to him, "Leave her alone. She's very upset, and the Lord has not told me about it. He has hidden it from me." She said, Master, did I ask you for a son? Didn't I tell you not to lie to me?" Then Elisha said to Gehazi, "Get ready. Take my walking stick in your hand and go quickly. If you meet anyone, don't say hello. If anyone greets you, don't respond. Lay my walking stick on the boy's face." The boy's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you." So Elisha got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead, and laid the walking stick on the boy's face, but the boy did not talk or move. Then Gehazi went back to meet Elisha. "The boy has not awakened," he said. When Elisha came into the house, the boy was lying dead on his bed. Elisha entered the room and shut the door, so only he and the boy were in the room. Then he prayed to the Lord. He went to the bed and lay on the boy, putting his mouth on the boy's mouth, his eyes on the boy's eyes, and his hands on the boy's hands. He stretched himself out on top of the boy. Soon the boy's skin became warm. Elisha turned away and walked around the room. Then he went back and put himself on the boy again. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha called Gehazi and said, "Tell the Shunammite." So he did. When she came, Elisha said, "Pick up your son." She came in and fell at Elisha's feet, bowing face down to the floor. Then she picked up her son and went out. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a shortage of food in the land. While the groups of prophets were sitting in front of him, he said to his servant, "Put the large pot on the fire and boil some stew for these men." One of them went out into the field to gather plants. Finding a wild vine, he picked fruit from the vine and filled his robe with it. Then he came and cut up the fruit into the pot. But they didn't know what kind of fruit it was. They poured out the stew for the others to eat. When they began to eat, they shouted, "Man of God, there's death in the pot," and they could not eat it. Elisha told them to bring some flour. He threw it into the pot and said, "Pour it out for the people to eat." Then there was nothing harmful in the pot. A man from Baal Shalishah came to Elisha, bringing him 20 loaves of barley bread from the first harvest. He also brought fresh grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." Elisha's servant asked, "How can I feed 100 people with so little?" "Give the bread to the people to eat," Elisha said. "This is what the Lord says. They will eat and will have food left over." After he gave it to them, the people ate and had food left over, as the Lord had said.